This is Walking Your Talk, a personal development podcast about leadership, authenticity, and courage. I'm Carolyn Taylor, and I've spent my life working with leaders in organizations on how to change their culture. But this is much more personal. If you want to be known as someone who walks your talk at work and beyond, then this podcast is for you. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Walking Your Talk, in this series where I'm talking you through the concepts and the logic that sat behind our development of a new tool that my colleagues and I have been building called the Taylor Assessment. And what it allows us to do, finally, is to measure with accuracy the likely contribution to a culture of individual leaders, of potential recruits, and of teams. Up until now, we've found that the assessment tools that we and probably you have been using are more generic. You know, things like Hogan or MBTI or other great tools, they don't specifically look at the corporate organizational features that you're looking to build into your culture. So you're having to use the results of a tool like that and sort of then try and interpret it into how might this help with the culture. What we've done now is build a tool that makes that link directly. And we've done that, and it does it because we have linked it to the six culture archetypes, which I first introduced in the first edition of my book, Walking the Talk, which was published in 2004, can you believe, nearly 20 years ago. And so in each episode in this series, I'm working through one of the culture archetypes, which I think you'll find valuable whether or not you decide you want to use the Taylor Assessment. So this week, I want to explore customer centricity. And I must confess that I love this archetype. It resonates really strongly with me. And it's always, I think, been a hallmark of my career, of my work. Some might say even to the detriment of other factors, which can and should really drive the growth of a consulting company. But the truth is, I love working with clients. And that's really where I want to spend my time. I'm fascinated by their challenges, the problems that organizations have to solve, and the human dynamics that the people in our client organizations deal with every day, you know, with their visions and their purpose and their goals and their ability to create value for their clients, and then to deal with, you know, all human beings' ability to, you know, sabotage their own potential when we start to operate out of self-interest or fear or mistrust, lack of confidence, just that mean-spiritedness which unfortunately we sometimes show towards each other. And so my passion has always been to help clients, people in client organizations, to work through and overcome those human failings. And I guess doing that has made me very customer-centric and really, you know, understanding how, you know, what a challenge that is when you put people together in an organization and, you know, they work together day after day. So enough about me. Let's explore customer-centricity and how it applies to you as an individual, to your company, or to your clients if you yourself are a consultant. So a customer-centric culture will really build its strength from the knowledge, the belief that if the organization's customers are happy, then they will be loyal, they will buy again, they will buy more, they will provide revenue, fuel the successful growth of the company. And that's the benefit of customer-centricity. And to build that customer-centric culture, you need individuals in your company who display a strong preference for putting the customer first. So what does that actually look like from a behavioral point of view? And once again, we isolated five core preferences that we have found that an ideal customer-centric leader would have. And many have some of them, but it's rare we found to find somebody who has all five. So even if you believe yourself to be very customer-centric, I hope as I go through the five, you'll see areas for your own growth. So as I go through them, again, reflect on yourself and how many of these sit right at the top of what you prioritize and what you care about. And then if you want to test that hypothesis, you can ask to take the Taylor assessment to see how that plays out, because the assessment asks respondents to rank statements in terms of how meaningful, how important they are to them. And so people with strong customer-centric tendencies will consistently put those at the top. So the first behavior is curiosity, a deep fascination with what makes your customers tick, what her interests are, priorities, problems, dreams, you know, what keeps him awake at night, and how his life actually works on a day-to-day basis. And your clients may be individual consumers, or they may be organizations if you've got a B2B model. But some fundamental curiosity applies in either case. It's not really something that you can outsource to others or have a research company do for you. You do need to do some of that questioning and that deep inquiry and study yourself, because you're just deeply fascinated. I know for myself, you know, what I love about when we win a new client is often it will expose me to a new industry that I've never been around before. And you start to learn what makes that industry tick, and you know, what are the challenges that the individuals in it face. And I am deeply curious about that. I find that fascinating. So then as your knowledge deepens, then the next consideration, of course, is how you respond to that, to what you learn. And that's where customer empathy becomes another of those five anchor behaviors, because empathy measures how much you focus on caring about what your customers feel and think, and what you've learned about them, and then really trying to understand how it must feel to be them. So those two anchor behaviors, curiosity and empathy, sit at the root, and then they put you in a position then to do something about it, something which, you know, potentially will delight your customers, make their life better. And depending on the role you play, that might be anything from designing a new product to listening and responding differently on the phone, to making sure that you're very efficient in the way that you use your customers' time. And I just want to highlight for a moment here the internal customer and external customer issue. In my view, to be a truly customer-centric organization, everyone in the organization does need to be focused on the external customer. Now, there are many roles who never actually touch the external customer and maybe would never have the opportunity to find out directly what the customers need, although in many industries you can actually, you know, in your outside life, make inquiries about that. But so it may be that you spend your time servicing internal customers, but the focus has always got to be that you're doing that for the external customer. So in that way, when I say external customer focus, I am talking primarily about the external customer. So then the next two behaviors will relate to your approach to responding to those customers. And we've called them customer orientation and selflessness. Customer orientation measures responsiveness. It measures your approach to getting back to them when they reach out to you, dealing with anything they're unhappy about, solving their problems, meeting their needs, delivering on expectations. So while customer empathy relates to the feeling that you have of customer centricity, customer orientation relates to the more practical side about what you do about it. And then we come to an anchor behavior for customer centricity, which has been a little controversial and which many people have measured who consider themselves customer centric. They don't come up strongly in this, in the Taylor assessment. And we call it selflessness. And what it relates to is your preferred response on those occasions where there is an apparent conflict between what's best for the customer and what's best for you, at least in the short term. So, for example, if you're striving to make a sale, maybe hit some sales targets, and you think you can do that by persuading the customer to buy something which ultimately is probably not the best thing for them, selflessness measures how you would respond in that moment. Do you make the short-term potential personal sacrifice in order to do what is absolutely the right thing for the customer? And if you do, you're likely to build long-term customer loyalty, and your customers will stay and come back for more. If you don't, you're probably more going to have to focus on winning new customers, because your existing ones may lose a little trust in you. Because being seen as self-interested is one of the biggest killers of trust. So we have curiosity, customer empathy, customer orientation, and selflessness. Wonder how you're going so far on your own self-reflection. And the final anchor behavior I want to explore with you is a more strategic one, which we call market-driven. And for some people in certain roles, it's really important, because what it does is it looks at having an orientation to taking the helicopter view and looking not only at the immediate day-to-day of your customer, but what is changing in the market in which the customer operates and how that will impact them. What are the regulators doing? You know, what are your customers' competitors doing? And most importantly, what are your competitors offering? Offering your clients in response to all of that, which, you know, might, you know, potentially even be better than what it is you're offering. Because when you have that perspective, it allows you then to ultimately respond to those broader trends and therefore to stay relevant for your customers in the long term. So there you have it. Where are you strong? Where are you less so? And we found through our work with the Taylor Assessment that many have strong preferences for one or two behaviours, but it's quite rare to be strongly represented in all five. So there's probably going to be some room for you to grow and for others around you to do the same. And if customer-centric is something that your organisation is really prioritising, or maybe you think it's personally really important for your role, then you should select one or two of those anchor behaviours and think about how you can give them higher priority in the way that you think, behave, make decisions. And if you want to find out more about the Taylor Assessment, as I've said before, just to give some rigour to the answer to those questions for you, then hop on to the Walking the Talk website and send an inquiry to find out more. Goodbye for now, and I'll see you in the next episode.